Today's reading comes from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, the entire chapter, starting on page 1840. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come to them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should not surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard, in love, because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the reading of the Lord.
Amen. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Steve. Long passage there. Thank you. Today we will learn, this may be the last sermon on the Holy Spirit. I'll ask God again. But today we will learn more about the Holy Spirit, specifically how to live in, by, and through the Spirit, because that's what we're called to do. This passage outlines important guidelines for us to keep in mind as we learn to walk in step with the Spirit. You need to know that walking in step with the Spirit does not happen automatically. It's something we participate in. It's something we make an effort to do. So this is important. It's like just pretend you're in school. That's what the Spirit of God is teaching us. How do we learn to walk in step with the Spirit? This passage is an amazing tool that teaches us how to do that. And it starts by telling us, so I say, The first part of it speaks about the end. So one of the things we need to always keep in mind is you're not here to stay. I'm not here to stay. We're just passing by. So don't get too attached to this earth. Don't get too attached to your belongings, to your money, to your whatever it may be, to your house, to your car, whatever it may be. You're just passing by. We need to learn. It's God's desire that we need to learn how to walk in step with the Spirit. So Galatians 5, passage I brought up last Sunday, tells us, 5:15 through 17, so I say live by the Spirit. And if you do that, this passage says, you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict. Have you ever felt that conflict? Of course you have. Where you want to do what is right, but oh, you just really are mad, or you feel whatever it is, and you just feel that struggle within you. That's the Spirit of God on one side saying, do what is right, and your flesh saying, no, I want to do what I want to do. So that's what it's talking about. I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. Important thing to keep in mind as we remember the call to live by the Spirit. Since we were born of the Spirit, let us live, is what Galatians is saying. Since we live by the Spirit, born by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, let us then keep in step with the Spirit. Learn to walk. That's what it means with the Spirit. One of the saddest things we can do is to ignore the warning described in verse 19 of this passage. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not put out the Spirit's life in you. Do not live by the flesh and let the Spirit be the one that doesn't rule in your life. That's the meaning of this, do not quench the Spirit, this warning. Do not quench the Spirit. Okay, so let's look at what this passage says about walking in step with the Spirit. Let's take a look at and see what God wants you, me, to learn from it. The first seven verses, as I said at the beginning, talk about how brief our life is and how soon that day may come. It says, the first few verses talk about the day of the Lord will come, and it tells us it will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on suddenly. That's a reality, people, and it may happen in your lifetime, in my lifetime. This will happen. And so God is telling us, look, this is coming. Are you aware of this? Are you living in a way that connects you to the realities of heaven? Are you aware that you will leave your money behind, your deeds behind, your family behind? And so are you focusing on what really matters? This day will come, the day of the end. This will not be a good day for those living on the earth, because Jesus will come not as a meek baby. He will come as the King of Kings and the Judge of the earth. He's coming. He's coming down to lay it all out. This is his time for everyone to see that he is the true King, that he is the Judge. He won't come as a meek carpenter, but as a King of Kings, as the Judge of the earth. This will be a day of great turmoil and suffering. But take heart and give thanks to God for what we are told in verse 9. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know enough about the position of eschatology, which is the study of the last times. in theology, that's what it's called. But a lot of people say, well, the Lord will come, but we're going to suffer with everyone else, but we're going to end up going to heaven. Other people say, well, we're going to suffer part of it. Some people will remain, and some people who are not fully committed to the Lord will remain for more suffering. And other people say, no, no suffering at all. Well, this verse tells us that I definitely don't believe that we will stay the entire time when the tribulation begins. My position is that some people who have not, because there's three positions, there may be more, theologians are coming up with new ones. But my position is that those who have submitted to the Lord, those Christians who have learned to walk in the Spirit, those Christians who are obedient, will go with heaven, will go sort of in the first bus, so to speak, and those who need a little more treatment, a little more, how does the dross falls out of the gold? You crank up the heat, right? And the Bible talks about trials, tribulations that mold us, refine us. Consider it pure joy, it says, when you're going through trials and tribulations. Why? Because it's producing a weight of glory in us. So those people who have avoided walking with God, who say, nah, I don't want to have anything to do with that, I believe they need more heat. And they may have to stay for part of the suffering. Don't, the Bible doesn't, quote, doesn't 100% hold either or any of those three positions. It's just my belief from studying the scriptures. So once the remnant is taken, I believe that there will be more suffering and fire, but God will keep his children protected so that they do not lose their faith. And the remaining of the fire will make so that the dross falls out of them and they will fully commit. They will fully want to walk with the Spirit. They will fully be ready. They won't want to waste their time. It's like all of a sudden it clicks and they want the things of the Spirit as much as God wants them to want them. However, whatever position it is, we need to remember this promise. God, of verse 7, God did not appoint us. Who? Us. Who's the us? His children. God did not appoint us, his children, to suffer wrath, because the wrath of God will be unleashed fully as the day of the Lord begins to unravel. So God did not appoint, as this verse says, to suffer wrath, the wrath of God, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind. That's one thing that this passage wants us to keep in mind. This means that although that day will be a day of great pain and suffering and turmoil, we have nothing to fear. Even if we have to suffer a little bit, God will be with us, strengthening us, guiding us. For our God did not appoint us, his children, to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. And then verse 10 reminds us that's why Jesus died. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. This means that our future is secured. There's nothing to fear. That's what the Spirit wants us to remember as we live each day. How many of you live or know people who live in terrible fear? Everything scares them. The news scares them. The bombs, the possibility of bombs scares them. Possibility of, you know, being kidnapped, possibility of getting cancer, possibility of losing loved ones, you know, on and on and on. They live in fear. That is not the way God wants us to live. I once said to someone, you know, you fear a lot of things. I fear God, and he who fears God will fear nothing else. You fear God, you will fear nothing else. Fear God, and every other fear will disappear. And since there's nothing to fear, right? That's what the way we're supposed to live. Verse 11 then calls us to do this. Therefore, pay attention to the therefore. It means whatever, this is because of whatever came before. So it says, therefore, encourage one another. Build each other up. Just as in fact you are doing, Paul says to his people. So brothers and sisters, this is important. If we are in fear, we're going to be caught up in that fear. Fear of dying, fear of death, fear of this, fear of that. If we live in fear, we're not going to have enough the mindset to do what the Lord tells us, to be encouraging one another. That's what we need to use our time for, to encourage one another, to build each other up. That's our job as the body of Christ. Encourage one another, build each other up. What does this remind you of? That commandment that says, love. Love one another. And those who love one another, love God and love one another, fulfill the entire law. So build each other up. Continue to build each other up. Just as encourage each other. Just as in fact you are doing, Paul says. Let us then, to this congregation, I say, continue to love one another and together seek to honor God, individually and together. So, if we are to honor God, what does that look like? Well, we will seek to walk in step with the Spirit. We don't walk in step with our flesh, because our flesh tells me things that are contrary to the Spirit. Our flesh will tell me, go tell that person off. Tell them. Put them in their place. Go defend yourself. You didn't do anything wrong. That's your flesh. Do it your way. Don't let them boss you around. That's your flesh. What are you thinking? You know, don't. All those things are from your flesh. So if we seek to walk with the Spirit, we will be satisfying the things of the Spirit, and walking with the Spirit, our death will be less and less productive. Our flesh, will be less and less productive in our lives. So verses 12 and 13, look at what it says. One of them, it just gives us a lot of, I'm just going to go through them really quick as we, practical things that the passage tells us. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work, and live in peace with each other. So these are things that we need to keep in mind. I mean, I'm thankful for this congregation that treats me very well, but I know of one of my colleagues one time shared that he would get nasty letters that nobody knew, somebody from the congregation, and they would slip them under his door while he was gone in his office, and they didn't know who it was, and just said all kinds of nasty things about him. We are to hold those who teach us, who help us, to hold them in high respect and honor, to acknowledge the work that they're doing among us. This is not just pastors. This is anybody who works, among us. And in this congregation, everybody does something. Read the scriptures, work the sound system, the numbers, all the numbers that we need to have in place to know how we're doing financially. Everybody's always doing something and getting ready the Lord's Supper, doing different things up here. So really, we all are to honor each other and acknowledge what we're doing for God and be thankful for that and live in peace. It says live in peace with each other. And then verse 14 tells us this: we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, and the Greek includes disruptive. So it's not just about truth. I mean, it's not just about love, it's also about truth. Meaning, we can't just think, well, I love you, so I'm not going to tell you anything that I really believe you should know. That's not love. That's wimpiness. Didn't Jesus say to Peter, stand behind me, Satan, for you're not right now paying attention to the things of God, but of the things of man. So Jesus was very firm because Jesus is perfectly balanced in love and in truth. That's what we're supposed to do. So we see a brother, a sister who needs to be enlightened about what they don't see, what they're doing, rude, selfish, whatever it may be. I know that, you know, some of you had had conversations, difficult conversations with some people who were leaving the church where you had to be really honest. This is not about you. This is about us. This is about love. Good for you. This is about love. This is about speaking the truth that is difficult to speak sometimes, but do it in love, right? That's the trick. So we are called, yes, we are called to warn those who are idle and disruptive among us. It's just about love, but it's not about love without truth. It's very important to remember that, because when I was in seminary, there was a pastor, thank goodness he's not there anymore, who decided that he wanted to treat lovingly two couples who had swapped partners. And he thought, well, I don't want to offend them. And I was a student. I was like, what? What? Why not? They're sinning. They at least shouldn't be coming in church like that. You should tell them that's wrong. Well, you know, it's just love covers multitude of sins. What a terrible way to use that scripture. What do we do with this? Warn them. Those who are misbehaving, those who are not walking with the Lord, warn them. Because your relationship with God, your faithfulness to God is more important than you keeping a friendship that is not really a friendship. I don't respect people who don't speak the truth to someone, who are hypocrites and don't have the courage to love someone enough to tell them the truth. So this is part of loving people. And this is part of walking in step with the Spirit. We need to learn that. So if we want to learn to walk in step with the Spirit, let us practice doing the things mentioned in these verses. Let me summarize them. Verses 14 through 22. Encourage the disheartened, those who are depressed, or those who are sad. It's not your job to say, well, I just pray for you. No, get involved. Say, tell me about it. How do you feel? I want to hear. How are you feeling because of the loss of your loved one? Get involved. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Help the weak. It's action. Love is action. The next one in these verses, all I'm just getting it out for you to see it. Verses 14 through 22, I'm just getting it all out. Be patient with everyone. Be patient. Don't be impatient. And the other one, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. Don't get back to people. God will do it better than you. He will get back. God is not a wimp. He will get back to people. He will discipline people. He said, revenge is mine. Vengeance is mine. So make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. The next one says, always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. The next one is rejoice always. The next one is pray continually. The next one is give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The next one is do not treat prophecies with contempt. What is that? Well, one of the most clear ways that prophecy is given today is through the pulpit. So don't just say, oh yeah, meh. Take it to heart. Of course, I taught you a couple of weeks ago that prophecies are also sometimes giving directly. Like somebody hears a word from God. I believe that's still active today because it's happened to me. And you give that word of God. That's a prophecy. Don't just poo-poo that and say, oh, no, whatever. Take it to heart. So it says do not treat prophecies with contempt. But test them all. Sure, you can test them all to see if what they said is from God. It will echo in your heart and compare it to what the scripture says, because it would have to be in line with the scriptures. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. All these are ways in which we walk in step with the Spirit. You see, it doesn't come automatically. Don't believe anyone who says, you've been sanctified, good enough, don't worry about it. No, the Bible says those saints who are being made perfect. It's a process, and we ought to participate in this process. So that's why, let me end with this verse, Romans 7:4-6. So my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to Christ, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might, what? Bear fruit. It's not just to sit and wait to be saved. No, bear fruit. Change. Be transformed. Each day be better and better and better, more like Jesus. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. No longer are we called to bear fruit for death. We're either bearing fruit for death or for the Spirit of God. There is no in between. If you're not growing, you're stale, you're shrinking, you're having less and less of God. There is no in between. That's what's hard to understand. We're called to grow, to be transformed. So it says, but now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, still the passage from Romans, so that we serve, listen to this, in the new way of the Spirit. Let me say it again. We have been released from the law so that we lay down and sleep and wait to be saved until Christ takes us home. No. We have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way, the way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. My brothers and sisters, God has called you to walk in step with the Spirit, which directly attacks your flesh. So as we learn to live in the new way of the Spirit, how are you doing at that? How are you doing? How are you doing at learning to walk in the new way of the Spirit? They say an old dog can't learn new tricks. Well, I think we can. God is worth it. How are you doing at that? Let's think about that as we pray. Father, you have called us to walk in step with your Spirit, which directly attacks our flesh. Our prayer today is that we learn to live in the new way of the Spirit as we learn to walk with the Spirit each day, each moment. Father, may we never kick you out of any area of our lives, not from our speech, not from our entertainment, not from the way we use our time, not from the way we use our money, not from the way we think or do, not from any decision that we make. May we always make you a part of it, every part of our lives. And Father, my prayer as a minister of this congregation called by you, your Spirit, to serve in this place, my prayer for my congregation is that God himself, the God of peace, will sanctify us all through and through, and that your whole work, the work that you have intended to work in us, be accomplished. So, Father, may our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, your word tells us that the one who calls us is faithful to do that in us. So do it in us, O God. We open our hearts, our minds and our spirits for you to work in us as you will. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.